This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org to discover more shows like this one. The darkness awaits.
You are listening to the Secret Transmission Podcast, discussing conspiracies, paranormal, and the strange.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about spooky slumber party games. I am your host, Toby, and alongside me are my slumber party friends. Please introduce yourselves.
Kristen.
Rudy.
And today we are talking about games that you might play at a slumber party.
Okay.
If your parents allow you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay.
My parents didn't care. They didn't care what we were doing, as long as we weren't talking to them.
I think when I was younger, as long as we were quiet, it didn't matter like what me and my friends did. Just, you know, make sure it's not an illegal activity and make sure you don't wake me up.
My mom was always in the kitchen, so none of these games really happen in the kitchen. Unless you go get spices or something, then she'd know.
Honey, what do you need all that salt for? Don't worry about it, Mom. We're good.
It's funny that you say that because some of these games do have have salt involved. But before we get into this, let's plug social media since I know some of you don't listen to the very end. Follow us on Twitter at Secret Transpod and Instagram at Secret Transpod. Do you follow or like on Facebook?
Like.
Either or. Follow and like.
Follow
friend.
Slash like.
Friend.
No,
friend.
not on pages. We have a Secret Transmission Podcast Facebook page.
I think
do the thing on it.
The popular one for YouTube is like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe.
Like, subscribe, and share.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And we have a Patreon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a Patreon. I don't really advertise it, but because there's so many podcasts out there, I don't want to take your money. But if you do want to throw a dollar at us, when we get stickers and stuff, we'll send you some stickers. But all the links will be in the description of the show, so yeah.
Yay.
So, back to the party games. And when I talk about party games, I mean spooky party games, like playing with the Ouija board.
I was really hoping we were going to do Cards Against Humanity. That would be so much fun.
I played it last night.
Yeah, I know. It's diabolical. Anyway, spooky party. Sorry.
We had someone comment on our YouTube channel on our Ouija board episode. So we're not going to talk about Ouija board because we did a whole episode on it. So go listen to that if you want references to Ouija board. But someone told us that you can make a Ouija board out of just a piece of paper and a quarter. You can. It's the same concept.
Remember I said in the episode that we did it with like rocks.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
That me and my sister made one and we did it with rocks. We just throw the rocks down and then...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I do kind of vaguely remember that.
When they would hang out in the cemetery at night.
No, in our bedroom.
at the cemetery. I remember a cemetery.
That was me.
Was it you?
Yeah, I played with Ouija board.
I remember one of you two weirdos had a cemetery involved in your games.
My dad has a cemetery like outside of his property in his backyard, basically.
Okay.
So we'd hang out in the cemetery.
That's cool.
Like little goth punk kids. So
I don't see you being goth.
No, not at all.
Or punk, actually.
Yeah, punk-ish.
I could see you trying to be a skater, but not necessarily.
Would it blow your mind if I said I was a skater?
It would blow my mind.
I was a skater.
I think my ear's leaking right now, as a matter of fact. So
anyways, back to the slumber party games.
Spooky games.
All of these sources that I found, they give a warning not to try these games.
Right.
So we are also giving the warning, do not try these games at home, even though we're going to give you the rules. We are going to lay out everything you need to do, all the items you need, and you better not try them.
Just saying, you invite things in, you may not be able to get rid of them.
That's perfect.
Open a portal.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What you
may not be able to get rid of what you
allow,
what you ask for. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
So
just telling you, be warned.
So I'll start with some of the more popular games.
Right.
So we're going to start with Bloody Mary.
Ah, yes. The classic Bloody Mary.
So one
also a Lady Gaga song.
Is it?
It's a good one, too. We actually, I think we backmasked it.
Did we?
Uh-huh.
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
But we learned a lot about you in that backmasking episode.
Let's move on.
So
there's no need to rehash old episodes.
One of the many legends of Bloody Mary might have been that she was a princess,
mm-hmm.
and she was murdered in front of her mirror in the bathroom.
Ooh, that's kind of cool.
Now, as I was reading all these, I kept finding more and more and more.
Like possible backstories to Bloody Mary.
So I only wrote down a handful,
mm-hmm.
but they're all very interesting.
Do any of them involve the name Mary? Or
almost all of them do.
Oh, well, okay.
So another legend is that Mary Worth was a victim of the Salem witch trials, and she might have been a witch that studied the black arts. She was found and executed, supposedly.
Right. Allegedly, yeah.
Allegedly. A more modern legend is her name was Mary Worthington.
Uh-huh.
See how it still got Worth in it, though?
Right.
She was a very vain woman, and she loved to look at herself in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
She was involved in a fatal car accident, and her face was scarred before she died. She knew it was bad because people wouldn't even look at her, so they just... She stopped looking in the mirror. They'd stopped looking at her. Well, apparently one day she ended up catching a glimpse of herself in the mirror, and she ended up committing suicide.
Okay.
So when she appeared, like in the game, when she appears in the mirror, her face is, that's why her face is all cut up.
Okay, I got you.
So the next one is Mary Tudor,
mm-hmm.
or Mary the First Queen of England.
Okay.
Apparently she was referred to as Bloody Mary, and she was a Catholic and ordered the execution of the Protestants and burned countless people at the stake for heresy during her 5-year reign.
Okay.
So
that okay. I wonder if that the show The Tudors is based on that reign.
Because
there's some show somewhere. Yeah, I haven't either.
But I don't understand where she fits in with the mirror and all that, but... Right.
Other than the fact that she was just a horrible human being.
Right.
You know, and why not summon Bloody Mary? Well, and she has the name Bloody Mary.
Right.
So, you know, because, you know, you if you execute a bunch of people simply because of what they believe, yeah, you're going to get some rather shitty nicknames.
Right. So this one is like the Mary Worthington one.
Uh-huh.
But this one is Mary Wales.
Okay.
And it's kind of a different take on Bloody Mary. She was killed when she was ran over by a truck on a street corner. And to summon her, you have to say, "I believe in you, Mary Wales. I believe in you, Mary Wales."
Don't do it again. Don't. Don't. Not a third time. Nope. Yeah. Don't.
But I think you have
to. It's kind of like Beetlejuice. Don't do it three times.
I think you have to do it with the same rituals as the Bloody Mary game.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So you have to be in front of a mirror. You have to have the candle, which we'll get to that in just a second.
I wonder why everything comes in threes.
I wonder if there's like evil behind the number three.
I know four is in certain cultures, but I don't know about three.
That's why we don't have three kids. Two is already evil enough.
Right. Right.
But those are some of the myths and legends I found, and there's mm-hmm. a ton more. I mean, there was a huge long page that I was just reading.
Oh, now I'm sure there's plenty of creepypastas on Bloody Mary ritual and all that stuff too.
Right. So, you need one or more players for this. You need a candle, a bathroom that can be pitch black, a mirror in the bathroom you need.
Right.
And this is how you play. You light the candle, place it in front of the mirror, turn off the lights. Spin around three times, touch the mirror with one hand. If more people are playing in the bathroom, you hold hands with that person.
Right.
And they touch whatever hand. If there's three people, the last person that has a free hand also touches the mirror.
Oh, okay. So you create a link.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
But you have to have one hand on the mirror.
Right. Again, spin three times. There's the number three again.
Yeah. Yeah. Spin three times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, some of these rules said that you turn on the faucet, and having the water running may help the spirit come, because according to some of the legends, the last thing that Bloody Mary heard before she was murdered or died or committed suicide was running water.
Hmm.
So that's You might try that if you're going to play
what,
this game.
I thought Bloody Mary killed herself in a bathtub.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, that could be
that's
a story, too.
That's what I
too.
Always thought the legend yeah. Was that she killed herself in the bathtub, and the water was running while she killed herself.
Again,
and that's why you do it in the bathroom.
There's so many different legends. This one, and that might actually tie into the Mary Worthington, the one, or whichever one was very vain and thought she was beautiful and looked in the mirror all the time.
Right.
That could have been how she killed herself. Who knows? I mean, there's so many.
I wonder if a lot of Marys are ghosts, because, you know, my aunt's, like, come back as ghosts, because my aunt.
So don't name your children Mary.
My aunt's ghost that was in her house was a previous woman that lived there, and she died saving her son in the pond. She drowned to death, and her name was Mary Swanner, Miss Swanner.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
I know a Mary. I wonder if she's a ghost.
Not yet, yet. Anyways.
I don't know that.
So, back to the rules. You chant slowly. This is where it gets funny. 3 to 1,000 times is what I saw you chant Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Now, some report that you only have to say it 3 times. Some report that you have to say it 13. Some just report that you keep doing it until you see her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
At
that point, she's probably annoyed. It's like, shut up.
That's why she comes
Let
out.
Let me go to sleep.
So she should appear in the mirror.
Uh-huh.
Here's some of the things that you may happen to you. She might rip out your eyes.
Cool.
Kill you and leave you with claw marks all over your face and body.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You end up disappearing and trapped in a mirror world.
Okay.
And she could just drive you insane.
All very good reasons not to summon.
Or she can sit down and have coffee with you.
I would like that, Bloody Mary.
Or she could have a Bloody Mary with you.
Did you bring sugar to the slumber party, Mary?
So what would happen if you... Yeah, like she said, what if you brought a Bloody Mary while trying to summon Bloody Mary?
You won't remember anything.
Now, you know what? On these mainstream ones, I didn't find any way of how to close the game. On the rest of the games, there's closures, like you how to end the game, so nothing stays open, just like the Ouija board.
Right.
You have to say goodbye to it to close it out. So some of these, if I was going to play these, if I'm putting any stock into these, I wouldn't play these because there's no way to close these games out that I know of.
There's like no, oh, okay.
I would like for people to come and tell us like if they've ever done these games before.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Maybe
like
next time we do a ghost episode.
Leave us a voicemail about it.
Oh yeah, leave us voicemails. I forgot we have a voicemail.
Because we've tried it in my house, me and Megan have, but we only managed two and then we're like, nah. Fuck it. We're not doing the third one. And then we just turn on lots and we're out. And we look around and I'm sure me and Megan are haunted for the rest of our lives. We have definitely messed with way too much spirit world than what we should have.
So
it's just intriguing.
The next game I have is Candyman.
Ooh, that was always my favorite.
See, I never played this one. I just knew that there was a movie. And I think it's basically played similar to...
So you want me to tell you how I think that I grew up knowing how it was done?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. So you go in there to the bathroom. It's in the bathroom also. You go into the bathroom and you turn the lights off and you look into the mirror and you say Candyman 3 times and then you flip on the lights and supposedly he's supposed to appear behind you.
Okay.
Which, that's how they do it in the movie, too.
Is it? See, yeah. I it's been so long since I've seen the first one.
I think all of these have a movie, pretty much. All of these main ones that you're going to talk about. Yeah.
Well, okay, so the origin story, supposedly, is this is about a ghost of a slave who returns from the dead for revenge if you say his name 5 times.
Why is he so special?
I don't know. He wants 5.
He was a slave. Leave it alone.
Like we said, there's a movie called Candyman, and it stars Tony Todd. Well, that was just throw that in there.
Okay.
The origin claims that he was a black slave named Daniel Robitelli.
Okay.
Close enough. Who worked on a plantation in New Orleans. He was a talented painter and was told to paint a portrait of the plantation owner's daughter. They fell in love.
Oh, the forbidden love.
When the plantation owner found out, he basically gathered an angry mob. They chased him out of town. They caught up to him in an old barn or something, and they cut off his right hand with a rusty saw, and they covered him in honey and threw him into a beehive.
Sweet. You know, did they tell that in the movie?
They might have. See, I it's been years since I've seen that movie, so it might be in one of the movies. But before he died of his injuries, he cursed the men who killed him, and he vowed his revenge on them.
Mm-hmm.
And he would only come if they said his name 5 times. So
his actual name or the Candyman?
See, and I didn't find out why it's Candyman.
Maybe because he was covered in honey?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But like I said, I think it's played, like Kristen said, pretty similar to Bloody Mary, but
right.
Five times. So the other popular one is...
Well, no side effects if you summon him, like in Bloody Mary?
He's got a hook or something, and he kills you, and I don't know.
If you summon him? So how come they all have to kill you? Why can't they just sit around for like a drink?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the other games that I've looked up,
right?
I think you'll like.
Because really? You owe me. I brought you back.
There's effects. There's effects of having these other games. Like,
right.
So we'll get to those.
It's like, why not just sit around for dinner or something? You
know? Why do you got to be killing all the
time?
Why
do you have to be killing, man? It's like, you know, I summoned you here for a steak. You don't have to kill me.
So this one is light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Uh-huh. I've heard of this one, too.
Apparently, it's also called pig in a blanket, stiff as a board.
No, never heard of that one.
Yeah, never heard of it either. The first written account of anyone playing light as a feather, stiff as a board reportedly comes from the diary of a 17th century English man named Samuel Pepys.
How do you spell that?
P-E-P-Y-S. Pepys.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not even going to attempt it, so I don't want to look like a tool.
In this entry from July 31st, 1665, Samuel mentions a story that his friend, Mr. Brisband, told him about a group of girls reciting the following chant over a boy who was laying down. And now, in this, it was in another language. I'm not going to try to read any of that, so I'm going to read what they roughly translated it to.
I wonder if it would have been like Latin or something.
It
if
might,
it was the 1700s,
yeah, probably,
more likely.
But I wasn't going to. It was. It had
words.
Words trip me up. I'm not even going to try it. So.
English words trip you up, let alone anything foreign. So.
So the chant that they supposedly said was, "Behold, a dead body, still as a stone, cold as a marble, light as a spirit. We lift to you in the name of Jesus Christ." While they chanted that, the girls allegedly raised the boy into the air using only their fingers. Mr. Brisbane added that they were able to replicate this trick with someone else, the cook of the house. A very lusty fellow who is very big. And did raise him in the same manner.
Nice.
So.
Hence the legend of stiff as a board, light as a feather is born.
Right.
Nice. So, that's actually kind of cool. I kind of like that.
One source I saw says that you need three or more people.
Uh-huh.
So you need one person to be laying on the ground.
Right.
And you need at least two people. But... we did have someone on our YouTube channel comment about light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Uh-huh.
And they said that you need to play with at least
four, she said, yeah.
And that they need to be
a little bit older.
Older than 16.
Yeah.
And she still didn't suggest playing it for anyone that...
Yeah, because she said she tried it and it works and it's not recommended. Because like we were saying earlier with the warnings... you know, don't let anything in that you can't let out.
You know what? And I'll get to it in a minute after we discuss it. Mm-hmm. Well, with this game, there is no closure again.
Right.
So whatever is making this body rise might stay evil and in the presence.
Yeah, and you could, you know, other people have argued it's basically mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're using basically your willpower, your own willpower to do it. But in the off chance that it's not just your willpower and you've allowed something in.
My mom says this works. She says that they've done it. I've never done this one.
What? I've never
light
done this
as
one.
A feather?
Yeah.
We tried it before. I mean, we got somebody up, but I mean, we didn't take our hands underneath out from underneath them. So, I mean, it wasn't like we were like really truly like struggling, but
right.
I don't know.
Well, okay. So the rules are, one person lays on the floor with their arms crossed over their chest.
Mm-hmm.
The other players surround them on their knees while one person sits near the head. Now, when this person that we were talking about gave us advice on this game, they said that you don't have to sit at the head. But the rules that I looked up said that one person has to sit at the head and be like the leader of this game.
I think that's just more for safety things. Is, you know, they don't want you to, you know, if you fall, they don't want the neck to get hurt.
Yeah, probably.
You know, it's more of a liability thing, you know, with the newer times or whatever.
So the lifters tuck their index and middle finger under the lifty's body.
Uh-huh.
And again, back to this person, they said the shoulders and under the butt are the best places to lift.
This just sounds like a way to feel up members of the opposite sex if you're doing,
right.
You know, as kids.
Hey, Kristen, want to play light as a feather? Okay. I'll be the stiff as a board.
Oh, geez.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah, remember, you better 2,000
leave that,
people.
You better leave that in, nasty.
You just confirmed.
We already know you're a nympho. So, way to go, Toby. You just kind of burned yourself on that one.
The leader tells a story about how the lifty died and starts to chant, light as a feather, stiff as a board. So, kind of like that little poem or whatever that thing is that they that
a little ritual saying, yeah.
So you could probably say that and then lift them up. The lifters should then start to guide the lying person up as they float into the air.
I'm kind of curious to know. Okay, we always hear stories of people doing it. I want to hear from someone who's actually been
the lifty.
Yeah. Yeah, that they've lifted.
To see what they've experienced?
Right, to see if there's some kind of sensation or something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, we always hear, oh yeah, I did it on so-and-so. It's like, I want to hear from so-and-so. Mm-hmm. I want to hear their story. I want to hear what they felt
right
when they did it. I'm kind of curious about that.
Now, the last one before we get into the obscure ones, this is a new one.
Oh.
It's a new one.
Oh, is it the one? Oh, I think I know where you're going with this. Fairly recent.
Take a guess.
Charlie Charlie. Yep.
It's a new popular urban legend game, although it was actually a reincarnation of a Spanish game called, we're going to try this now, Spanish, Diego de la Lepicria? Lepicara?
I have no idea.
But it's translated to the Game of Pens, whatever that is. So it's a Spanish game. It was mostly played by teenagers asking silly questions like, does this boy like me? Am I the prettiest girl in school?
I thought, now that I'm thinking about the whole Charlie Charlie thing, I thought the original video that they posted, because it was a YouTube video, if I remember correctly.
It was popular in 2015.
Right.
It really took off because everyone was using the hashtag Charlie Charlie Challenge.
I thought they already came out and said that was a hoax. They already admitted it was a hoax.
Oh, see, there's so many videos. I'm not sure which one. We watched a bunch of them. Me and Kristen actually tried it a couple years ago because we were like, oh, a new scary, spooky thing. Let's try it out.
Yeah, but I'm almost positive. I could be completely wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that the original video, the guy has already come out and said, hey, I faked this, guys.
Oh,
it was just a gag.
I could see that.
Yeah.
So apparently Charlie is a child who committed suicide and or was the victim of a fatal car crash.
Uh-huh.
And or was a pagan Mexican deity who is now the devil.
See, so many and ors. I'm already kind of suspect of its origins.
The Mexican deity bit is probably way wrong because Charlie is such an American name.
I was going to say, the Mexican deity, Charlie. He's coming to get you in a theater near
Maybe
you.
Maybe Carlito, if his name was Carlito or something like that.
Why's it got to be Carlito?
Well, I'm just saying. Hell? I mean, that's...
Man, that's like saying Juan... Mexican deity Juan. Yeah, it's so stupid.
The Juan Juan challenge.
The Juan Juan challenge.
So you can have as many players as you want for this.
Right. And all it is it the pen or pencil.
You need.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, the rules.
A piece of paper and two pencils.
Okay.
So here's how you play. You draw two lines on the paper so it makes four squares.
Okay.
You label two of the squares yes and two of the squares no. You can do it however you want.
All right.
Place one pencil on the horizontal line.
Okay.
And then on the vertical line, you cross over the other pencil and
you
balance it perfectly.
I got you.
It's on the lines. Then you say, Charlie, Charlie, are you there? And then you ask it a question. And the pencil should move to reveal the answer. Kind of like a magic eight ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, eh.
You know what? Out of curiosity, I may do this one later downstairs. Hey, I'm doing it in your house. I'm not doing it in my house.
We've already tried it in this house, and we didn't get any.
Didn't get anything?
No. But we just weren't asking.
I know it's about 2 years too late for the trend, but, you know, what the hell? I might as well give it a shot.
Hashtag Charlie Charlie Challenge. Let's have Juan. I think.
Hashtag Juan Juan Challenge. Since he, you know, a Mexican deity. You know,
I wish I knew why it was Charlie Charlie. Like, why do you have to say it twice? Why not three times? What if that's why it didn't work for us?
Ooh, yay. Charlie, there we Charlie, go. It's got it. Hey, you know, all these spiritual rituals come in threes. You know, you've got Bloody Mary, you've got Candyman, Beetlejuice. I mean, you can't do it in twos.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like when we do our sound checks, you know, check one, check two. We don't ever go to three because we may summon something.
Oh, that is true.
Yeah, see?
That's funny.
Yeah.
There's a Samara game just like the Bloody Mary.
What is it?
Samara.
I don't know what that is.
So you have to have two people. One friend stands on the outside of the bathroom while you are in the bathroom, and you turn on a tea light and turn off the big light, And then you, what did it say? It said something about...
You're asking me?
Haha. So it says, starting with the wall on the, which the mirror is mounted on, say, join me. Once to each wall, facing the appropriate wall while saying this. Face the mirror again and say, I am ready. Now close your eyes and spin around 13 times while saying Samara. Open your eyes and look in the mirror. It is possible that you'll see Samara's bloody, dirty face staring back at you. Quickly scream Samara. Your friend must open the door within 5 seconds of your scream. If your friend does not open the door for you, Samara is free to take you back to her into the mirror, which Ooh. Will be not be pleasant for you and will most likely result in your death. If your friend does open the door, run as fast as you can into the room where the light is turned on. Do not turn the tea light off. Samara is still with you, and if you turn the tea light off, Samara will take you with her. Finally, you and your friend must repeat sternly 3 times, you are not welcome. Samara is gone, and you may now turn the tea light off.
Why would you play that game?
What culture is that from?
I don't know. There's also that one Chinese one that's, what is it, Sujisu or Sujisu?
Is which it just is, all spins on Bloody Mary?
No. So the Sujisu or whatever, I don't remember how you say it. What you do is, let me see if I can find it.
Well, let's take a break and maybe you can find it. And when we come back, we'll come over, we'll talk more obscure ones.
I've always been kind of curious to know if other cultures have weird little rituals like that. I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Like their own.
Like their own versions.
Bloody Mary and other versions or Lion's
right,
Feather.
Right.
Yeah, that is.
Because I know, you know, they all have their own folklores like we do. But I'm kind of curious to know if they have their own stupid little kids games that they do
yeah.
like this.
If you're from a different country or something, tell us if we share the same slumber party games.
Yeah, yeah. Same little sleepover creepy games that you to do to creep each other out. That'd be kind of neat.
But let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk more goofy, creepy stuff.
Yay, I like goofy, creepy stuff.
Be right back.
Well, hello there, neighborinos. The handle's Mr. Most Days Off, but my friends call me Miles, and I'm the host of the Best Darn Diddly Review Show.
Hello, Mr. Most Days Off.
And that's my best friend, Richie the Whiz Kid, the co-host of Best Darn Diddly.
Hi-dilly-ho there, podcasterinos. The Best Darn Diddly Review Show is a weekly journey through the entire Simpsons series, hosted by us, two guys who grew up loving the Simpsons.
We discuss every diddly, every doodly, and every
dough! So lace up your assassin sneakers, put on your skin-tight ski suit, and head down the slopes with us at Best Darn Diddly.
Stupid, sexy Best Darn Diddly.
You can catch us each and every Monday on BestDarnDiddly.com.
I wonder which thing is gonna win!
Well, I know, my thing can beat your thing.
Are you serious? A toaster can beat a dragon?
Toasters can get really hot.
Dragons breathe fire.
To see how this and other battles end, find My Thing Can Beat Your Thing on iTunes and Google Play, and send your thing sightings to @thingbeatsthing on Twitter. For MTCBYT News, I'm a news person.
And we are back. And Kristen, are you going to tell us about that game? What's the name of it again? I'm sorry. I forgot what it's called.
It's called Sujiura or the Fortune Game. It says, allegedly this one originated many, many years ago in Japan. I haven't been able to find out anything about its origins beyond that, though, so it's possible and likely, I think, that the whole this is an ancient Japanese fortune-telling ritual thing is just meant to add to the mystery of it. So the good news is that Sujiura is a little less involved than some of the other games on the list. All you have to do is find a comb and something to cover your face. Take them to the crossroad when it's dark out.
I got this one.
Run the comb over your teeth 3 times to make some noise and chant Sujiura, Sujiura. Grant me a true response. 3 times, if a stranger approaches you, cover your face, then ask them to tell you your fortune, but don't push if they refuse.
Interesting.
That'd be the only one I'd probably do.
Right.
I live at crossroads.
There's something significant about crossroads in Japan, though. They're intersections.
Well, there's something with crossroads. everywhere.
Just in general?
Yeah, because, you know, the devil in the crossroads. So that game, they call it the fortune game for English. And like you said, it's in Japan. In Europe, it's called Crossroads Divination. A note that I had on that is apparently some of the Japanese people would commit suicide after playing this game because they didn't like the predictions that they were given.
Oh, okay.
Because probably everybody always asks how they're going to die.
So in Europe, that they believe that the ghosts of the dead walk the roads at night. Also, the devil would be at the crossroads, like I was saying, disguised in a human form. So when you played, you were either getting your fortune told by a ghost or the devil himself. How do you say it?
Sugiura.
Sugiura? Thank you. Sugiura became so popular that Japanese produced little crackers with fortunes inside written on paper. They were called... How do you say it again?
Sugiura,
which that's what they say it comes from. It says...
Sugiura Senbaya.
Sugiura also refers to a Japanese rice crack-based version of a fortune cookie.
So, yeah, and then that's where, you know, years later, Chinese restaurants in America adopted the fortune cookie.
So the origin of the fortune cookie is actually from this little game that they used to play in China or in Japan?
Yep.
Interesting, because the big thing is that fortune cookies were an American-made creation.
Well, I mean, it is.
But they have some history now in Japan.
There is a reason for it.
They
also note that you should play this game. Oh, they also note that you shouldn't play this game since it's dark and you're covering your face talking to strangers. It'd be real easy for someone to mug you or kidnap you or something.
See, I'm thinking the other way. I think it'd be fun if I saw a group of teenage girls sitting in the middle of the road chanting something about telling my fortune. I'd walk right up to them and go, you're going to catch a disease. And just walk off. You're going to be pregnant.
Pregnant by next year.
And then walk up to them after they've revealed their face and be like, hey, you want to hook up? Okay, so the first game, the obscure game that I've got on my list is what you were telling me about the other day because you got real interested in
this. Three Kings.
Three Kings. So this game is supposed to reveal your shadow side. And from what I can tell, this was started on Reddit.
Okay.
A lot of these actually seem like they started on Reddit. So I don't know the origin of...
Other than Reddit?
Reddit, yeah.
Yeah.
So you need two people to play. One as the main and one as the partner. Here's a note. You and your partner should both be mentally, emotionally, and spiritually stable. Do not attempt if either of you are having serious issues in your life. Do not attempt if either of you have consumed drugs or alcohol within the last 3 to 5 days. Okay, so be sober before you try this. Don't try this, though.
So the one that I saw was one person, just yourself.
Oh, really? Well, what you need for this game is a large, quiet, empty room, windowless preferred. If there are windows present, cover as completely as possible with curtains, sheets, etc. The best ideal location is a basement. So you need a pack of candles, a lighter, a bucket of water, a mug, electric fan, two large mirrors, three chairs, an alarm clock, a fully charged cell phone, and a small object of sentimental value.
Oh, totally not what I was looking at.
Yeah, well, all these you're going to get different versions of. So, who's to say which one's right? This one's kind of long, too. So, there's a prelude to the rules. So, and these are very specific. I don't know how you can play this game.
Okay.
So, step one is begin at 11 p.m. Do not begin if your partner is not present or has not been briefed on his or her role. Your partner should remain in the home for the entire duration of the game. 2. Place one chair facing north in the center of your designated dark room. This chair will be your throne. Place the other two chairs on either side of your throne, facing it, in arm's length away. These will be your queen's chair and your fool's chair. Place one of your two mirrors on the queen's chair and the other on the fool's. The mirror should be perpendicular to the chair's seat and facing both each other and you. You should be able to see your own reflection in each mirror from the peripheral vision while seated in your throne. You should not have to turn your head or move your eyes to do so. So they need to be where you can see them.
Uh-huh.
Place the bucket of water and the mug in front of you, just out of reach. Place the fan behind your throne, set it to medium or low, never high, and turn it on. Make sure it is stationary and not oscillating. Leave the room and keep the door open. go to your bedroom, set the candles, lighter, alarm clock, and cell phone next to your bed. Make sure the phone is charging and set your alarm clock for 3:30 a.m. Turn the lights off, hold your object of sentimental value, your power object, and climb into bed and sleep. So now, after you've done all the preparation.
Okay.
So you're going to wake up at 3:30 when your alarm clock goes off. Turn off the alarm, but do not turn off the light. Keep a hold of the power object, pick up your cell phone, light one candle, and return to the dark room. You must be seated in your throne by 3:33 a.m. Do not proceed if any of these following occur. Your cell phone did not charge. Your alarm did not go off precisely at 3:30 a.m. You approach the dark room and find the door closed. You approach the dark room and you find the fan turned off. You are not seated at the throne at your throne by 3:33 a.m. 3:33. There's those threes.
Telling you, there's something with threes in the spirit world.
Should any of these incidents ensue, take your partner and any other occupants and leave your home. Do not return until after 6 a.m.
Really?
How spooky is that? You just let something really bad in, is what that tells me.
Yeah.
If you do not encounter any red flags, proceed. Take your throne, but do not look directly at either of the mirrors, and do not let the candle go out. Use your body to protect the candle from the fan. Keep your eyes focused at the darkness in front of you. Again, do not look at the mirrors, and do not look at the candle. Should you have any questions you wish to ask, you may ask them now. You may not receive any response. If you do, your response will come from the direction of one of the mirrors. Do not turn and look at the mirrors. Any answers received should be taken with the proverbial grain of salt. One of the mirrors is the queen and one is the fool, but it may not be clear which is which. Also note to whatever may settle in the mirrors, you yourself are either the queen or the fool. Remain in the throne until 4:34 a.m.
So for over an hour.
For an hour and a minute.
Yeah.
The ending. At 4:34 a.m., your partner should call out your name to end the game. Should this fail, your partner should call your cell phone. Should this fail, your partner should enter the room without touching you. Use the bucket of water and mug. So I guess splash it on them?
I don't know.
Concerning the fail-safes, if your body is suddenly moved, the fan will blow out the candle, ending the game. Should you become lost or disoriented, your power object will guide your way back. Do not ignore any of the previously noted red flags prior to seating yourself in the thrones. Do not attempt to stay in your home should any of these red flags appear. Do not attempt if you do not completely and totally trust your partner.
Gotcha.
That's three kings.
Seems like a lot of work. A
lot of work for...
To creep yourself out.
Right. Too much work.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have a problem with my alarm clock going off and me not getting up.
I was going to say, yeah, some people hear that alarm and they're just like, yeah, screw it, I'm going back to bed.
And like, I have my alarms on my phone set like 10 minutes fast.
Right.
And all the alarms in the house, all the clocks, so I'm never late.
Right.
So would I do it by my clock's time?
Oh, that's a good point.
When is the official 3:33?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like the Gremlins argument.
Yeah.
You know, if they ate on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
You know, would that make them turn?
Right.
You know.
So the next game is The Doors of Your Mind.
Ooh.
So this one is to explore your mind, but the catch is you might find something in yourself that you don't want to find. In this one, you need two players.
Mm-hmm.
One is the main and one is your partner. You need a quiet room, candles, matches or a lighter, alarm clock, pillow, which is optional, and a recording device, which is also optional. So the rules are, start when you're relaxed. Find a quiet room, dim the lights, set up your candles, and light them. Also, set up your recording device if you wish at this time. Set the alarm clock to go off 1 hour from the time you begin.
Mm-hmm.
Have your partner sit in the floor. You should lie down with your head in the partner's lap facing up. And this is where you can put the pillow in their lap if you don't want to just...
Mm-hmm.
Now close your eyes. Have your partner begin rubbing your temples in slow circular motions. Keep your eyes closed and stay relaxed. Your partner will...
This is bordering on hypnotism.
Yeah. Your partner will be the guide in the next part.
Yeah.
Have them speak the following words to you. You are at one end of a very long corridor. There are numerous doors on both sides of this corridor, spanning the entire length. I want you to explore these doors and rooms behind them. Describe to me what you can see, hear, touch, and feel with great detail.
Now interesting.
Now the exploration begins. If you're the one that's in the rooms, you should find yourself in the corridor. Describe each and everything that you encounter. There are no rules as how best to explore the corridor in this room, but here are some of the tips that people have given. Pay attention to yourself and to your surroundings. What are you wearing? What's in your pockets? Do you have anything meaningful? Whatever you find might be useful. Take a good look and feel each door before you open it. What color is it? What size and shape is it? What does the handle look like? Is the handle unusual temperature? These details might provide hints to what's behind the door.
Right.
You do not have to open every door. Trust your instincts. If you feel it would be unwise to enter one, don't open it. So
it's almost like a controlled dream, really. Yeah,
seems like it.
Yeah.
The return. When the alarm goes off, your partner should guide you back to the real world. The exact words spoken to do so are up to your partner. But in all cases, the corridor should recede, and any doors that have been opened should be closed by the end. Once you have returned, blow out the candles and turn off the recording device. So here's some other notes that I found on this. Which there's more notes than there is rules. This game may be played as many times as you desire. After you've played it enough times, you may no longer require an alarm clock. Your partner should be able to determine when you're ready to make your way back. If you enter a room filled with clocks, do not touch any of the clocks and leave the room immediately.
Really?
If you encounter an old woman, do not speak to her and leave the room immediately. If you encounter a man in a suit, particularly one who inspires feelings of uneasy or dread, describe him immediately to your partner. Your partner should then end the session, regardless to whether the alarm has gone off. If your partner is unable to end the session, do not speak to him and leave the room immediately. Some doors may be locked, blocked, or otherwise barred. Check your person to see if there's a key. If you don't, however, do not worry. You may simply not be ready to deal with whatever's behind that door yet.
Gotcha.
Leave the door closed and move on.
Huh.
It is not unheard of personas encountered in specific rooms to lock you inside. One player recounted an instance in which his partner, in this case his sister, was required to shake him violently in order to pull him back into the reality.
Really?
That one sounds fun.
Yeah.
Actually, that seems very, like you said, hypnotism, like very therapeutic.
Right.
Like, just...
especially having someone rub your temples.
Right. Kind of like a meditation. Just kind of exploring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, as weird as that is.
No.
I've never done anything like that, but...
Well, it's not as odd as... I mean, people have been doing rituals and chants and meditation similar to that for, since written history.
Right.
So, it's just a new way of doing it.
Right.
That's kind of cool, though.
I like that one. I like that one a lot. I would try that one just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, right.
Let's move on to the next one, the dark reflection ritual. So most lore says it's bad to break a mirror. The person is followed by bad luck when you break a mirror. 7 years bad luck. We did a superstition episode. Go listen to it.
It was quite tasty.
Some believe bad luck stays with the mirror if it is... if I break a mirror in this room...
Mm-hmm.
It's not the person that gets the bad luck. It's the room.
Really?
And it gradually dissipates over time. That's what some cultures believe, apparently.
Okay.
I don't know that. That's what this article said.
Right.
In this ritual, you'll actually break the mirror, and you'll have the worst luck you can imagine. The goal is to survive the night, and you'll be rewarded with good luck.
Why? Why would you even risk that?
For good luck?
To survive the night, though? What kind of...
I don't know. So, here. You can have one, but a group is suggested.
Uh-huh.
You need a mirror. One that you're willing to break.
Right.
And I'm going to jump ahead, because I know some of the notes on this.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to use one that you do rituals in front of. And I mean rituals as in put your makeup on, brush your teeth.
Oh, okay.
You don't want something that's caught your image.
Like, get a fresh one.
Yes.
Basically.
Right.
Okay.
And you don't want one that has personal attachment. Like, this was my great-grandmother's.
Right.
You don't want any kind of personal, like if you did drugs in front of the mirror, if you did anything,
Okay.
So you want a clean mirror.
It goes back to that spiritual,
trapping.
Yeah.
A piece of you, kind of.
A piece of whoever.
Yeah.
Might still be in. Yeah. Yeah.
So, a candle, matches, or a lighter. And this is how you play. And it's broken up into acts.
Mm-hmm.
So, act one. Start after sunset, but no less than 6 hours until dawn. Take up your mirror and look your reflection in the eye for 3 to 5 seconds, focusing your attention on the negative energy held within the mirror. Then hold the glass up to your face and breathe on it until it fogs up. Repeat this step for as many players there are in the group, with each player performing the step in its entirety once. After all the players have breathed on the mirror, light the candle with the match or lighter and hold it to the mirror's surface. Once the candle has blackened a small portion of the glass, remove the candle and extinguish it. break the mirror, releasing the negative energy. Leave the pieces of the broken mirror where they are and evacuate the area immediately.
Safety first.
Act 2. Bad luck will proceed to follow you throughout the night. Incidents will likely begin small and will grow in severity as the evening wears on. Your survival is dependent on the state of your alertness. There are no rules to follow or actions to perform that will guarantee your safety. The only pieces of advice which may be helpful are stay vigilant, and you should find yourself in a particularly threatening situation, hold your breath for as long as you can.
Really?
Act 3. I got chills on that. I don't know why. That was not that scary, and it gave me chills. Maybe it's the air conditioner. Act 3. If you survive the night unscratched, your luck will perform an abrupt about-face with the arrival of the first light of dawn. Your bad luck will end, and a streak of good fortune will begin. People will be nicer to you, success will come easily, and if you're a gambling type, it is recommended to buy a lottery ticket.
Huh.
Like I said, don't play this game with a mirror that has personal ritual with it.
I'm actually surprised they haven't turned this one into a cheesy Hollywood
movie okay, yet. So off mic, I think we said it off microphone. Yeah. A lot of these games would be great for just cheesy B-horror movies. Like, I would watch that.
I would, too.
Because I want to know what the fuck is chasing on.
I think...
Or what you're holding your breath from. That's cool.
Right. It's an unknown...
Yeah. And you know what? That's the thing. It doesn't ever have to reveal.
Yeah, there wouldn't need to be a reveal. It'd be creepier not to see the monster every once in a while. Kind of like Final Destination.
Right, right.
We never see anything. Which so, that's kind of what this reminds me of, is Final Destination in a way.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I like it.
Yeah. Sorry.
So you can play this anywhere, but it's not recommended that you play it where you live.
That's a good call. Because if you're going to let something in, don't let it into your own home.
Right. So although this ritual may be performed by only one principal, like one main person, it is best to conduct it by a group. The reason for this recommendation goes back to the idea that there are strength in numbers.
Yeah.
If only one person performs the ritual, the negative energy released during Act 1 will have only one person to follow. More people, the thinner the negative energy has to spread out and track everyone down. There is no way to halt this ritual once it begins. Do not begin it unless you plan on finishing it.
That's kind of cool.
I like that one.
I don't like that one. Okay.
Let's take a small break.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll go over a few more and then wrap it up.
Call it a wraps.
Yep.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Man, that one's kind of cool. I'd like to see that.
Prepare to confiscate the human's possessions. Possession secured. Prepare the probe.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait a hot second. No need for a probe, man. Why are you doing this anyway?
To learn from your kind. And to obtain your container of treasures.
Container of treasures? Oh, you mean my cryptid crate?
Yes, the cryptid crate you possess. We desire it. We have discovered it to be populated with many objects we find most incredible. Correct. The objects in this container cannot be produced on our home planet.
Well, you don't have to abduct people to get your own cryptid crate.
Elaborate.
Just go to cryptidcrate.com and sign up. On the first of each month, a new box filled with amazing cryptozoology-themed items will come to your mailbox, or spaceship.
Allow us to show appreciation to you, human, for this invaluable information.
Yeah, sure thing. Does this mean you're going to take me back to Earth?
Not exactly.
Project Archivist, the podcast that talks about the weird, the wonderful, and the strange. Join us every week as your hosts Rogan and Lobo take a different look at the world around us through guest interviews, discussion, or taking a look at the week's weirdest news. Find us at www.projectarchivist.com, on iTunes in the podcast section, or on the Stitcher Android app.
Hey, this is Nock from the Geek Yogurt Podcast. Tune in every week as we discuss movies, TV, comics, and video games. We are on Podbean, iTunes, Satchel, or on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at Yogurt Podcast and weigh in on our weekly topics.
And we are back, and we're going to go ahead and kick this off with the shoebox telephone.
I'm sorry, what?
The shoebox telephone is what this game is called.
Okay.
So, first off, caution. This is a magical ritual that calls upon the dead to communicate. Should you choose to attempt this ritual, be warned that this is not a game, and any results, good and bad, may be long-lasting. This is disturbing and possibly dangerous. So you need one player.
Okay. Story of my life, so I'm already set there.
You need a, quote, phone booth. A closet is a good choice.
Okay.
A paper cup, a shoebox, a length of thread 2 to 4 feet in length, a needle, a pair of scissors, a power object. This object should be have some kind of connection to the person you want to speak with, a sheet of paper, an ink pen, and do not try to substitute it for a pencil.
It has to be an ink pen. It
has to be a pen.
Okay.
A flat surface on which to write.
Okay.
So
I hope everyone's taking notes on what they need.
This one's long.
Right.
So for an outgoing call, begin right before you go to bed. No major rules for this, just right before you go to bed, no time limit. Keep the lights on, but turn off all the electronic devices, cell phones, TVs, computers, that kind of crap.
Right.
Wait. You'll know when the time is right to begin. You'll know.
You'll just know.
You'll know. Once you arrive at the right time, take your sheet of paper and your pen and begin writing a letter addressed to the person to whom you wish to speak with. Explain to the person why they should call you. Do not cross out anything while writing and do not correct any mistakes. Don't overthink what you're writing. Just write. When you're done writing, take up your length of thread and tie it to the end of your power object. Using the needle, thread the other end through the bottom of your paper cup. Remove the needle and tie off the thread. This will be your headset and telephone wire. Pick up your paper cup and read your letter aloud into it.
Mm-hmm.
Read it sincerely, mistakes and all. Place your letter and your power object in the shoebox with the telephone wire thread leading out of it. Close the lid of the box, but don't seal it. Then rest it on the floor of your phone booth. So, in the closet.
Right.
Leave the paper cup standing on top of the shoebox. Set the scissors down next to it. Wait for the telephone to ring. I was curious about what the ring would actually be.
Right.
The inbound call. The ring will come in the form of a dream of the person trying to call you. Oh, okay. Well,
there's your answer. Yeah.
It might be that night. It might be the night shortly thereafter. You'll wake up from the dream, likely in the middle of the night, and know that the telephone is ready to be answered. Get up from your bed and go to the phone booth. Do not turn on the light. Do not speak. Do not proceed if any of the following occurs. You find the shoebox open. You find the paper cup knocked over. Should you encounter either or both of these incidents, do not place the headset anywhere near your ear. Keep the shoebox closed and snap the string with your hands. If you're unable to snap it, use the scissors to snip it.
Mm-hmm.
If the shoebox and the paper cup are undisturbed, you may proceed. Get in the phone booth, close the door. Sit in the floor, press the paper cup against your ear, cover your other ear with your other hand, and listen. Really listen. They're calling collect after all. Keep movement to a minimum. Try not to make any noise and do not touch the shoebox. Do not speak, even if you're asked questions. In order to say something, you already had your say when you made the outbound call. So, like, when you wrote everything that you want to say, you wrote down and you read into when you remember when you read.
Yeah.
So that's the only time you get to talk. When the call has finished, or if at any time you want to hang up, hold the shoebox lid firmly closed with one hand and pull the thread with the other until it snaps. If you're unable to snap the string in this manner, use the scissors. Do not allow the shoebox to open. Remove the shoebox to a safe location and leave it there for several months. Again, do not allow the shoebox to open. Do not put the paper cup to your ear again. Burn it instead. So here's some other notes. If during the steps 3 and 4 of the outbound call, the feeling of absolute certainty that it is time to begin does not arrive within the space of an hour, do not proceed. Instead, go to sleep and try again the next night. If the right time doesn't arrive several nights in a row either, try contacting a different person or take a break for a few nights. Do not write in doubt.
In other words, if you don't believe what you're really doing, don't do it.
Oh, okay. To write in doubt will result in dialing the wrong number. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there.
Do not prepare the paper cup headset in step 5 of the outbound call in advance. Write the letter, then make the headset. If the ring of the inbound call does not arrive after a maximum of 4 nights, it is possible that whomever you attempted to contact has nothing to say to you.
That's a good point.
You may reply, You may replay the game to make contact with another person, but do not attempt to play it too often. Concerning wrong numbers, dialing the wrong number will either result in connecting you to no one at all or connecting you to the wrong person. If connected to the wrong person, any of the following may occur. The wrong person could pretend to be the right person. The wrong person could feed you misinformation, either in the guise of the right person or as themselves. The wrong person could otherwise give you a bad time. Do not, under any circumstances, dial a wrong number.
In other words, don't be doubtful of what you're doing, and you won't right. dial the wrong number. So if you want to do this just to play around with it, and you're like, oh, whatever, it's just a stupid game, don't do it.
Right.
Just don't do it, period.
Well, and that's the same with Ouija boards. Mm-hmm. And pretty much, I think that's an unspoken rule about all these games. If you have doubt, you're not going
right.
to get the results that you
Which
desire.
Which is why I don't play a lot of these stupid games, is because I don't you doubt want... them? No, I don't doubt them. It's I don't want to let anything in.
Right. So the next one is the Midnight Game.
Ooh.
It is believed that the Midnight Game was once an old pagan ritual used as a punishment of those who dared to disobey the gods.
You got me curious now. I'm intrigued.
So you need at least one person.
Okay.
And you need one candle, one lighter, or matches, one piece of paper, a pen, which I'm talking about like the needle pen.
Oh, okay.
One wooden door, and it needs to be closed, and salt. And this is how you play. The invitation. Begin before midnight. Write your full name, first, middle, and last, on the paper. Prick your finger and dot the blood on the paper and let it soak in.
Nope. Nope.
A blood bond.
Nope. Mm-mm. You've already lost me on this one.
Turn off all the lights in the house. Place the paper with your name and blood on it in front of the closed wooden door. Light the candle and put it on top of the paper. Knock on the door 22 times.
22? Be there all night.
The final knock must occur precisely when the clock chimes 12 a.m. So you gotta have good timing, too.
Right.
Open the door, then blow out the candle and close the door. Relight the candle immediately. On to the main event. Keeping your candle in your hand and your salt and matches close by, begin to move about your home. Should your candle go out, you must relight it within the next 10 seconds. If you're successful, continue moving about your house. Do not stop moving until 3:30 a.m.
You have to move around.
3:33 a.m.
You have to move around for... There's 3:33 again.
Yeah, you have to move around for 3 hours.
Three and a half hours. I'm already done with this game.
I'm tired, and now I'm walking around the house with a candle.
I'm walking around with a candle.
In the dark.
And if it goes out, I'm screwed.
You got to light it in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
If you are unsuccessful in relighting the candle, immediately surround yourself with a circle of salt. Remain in the circle until 3:33 a.m.
Damn. This is more like an endurance test, really.
So, the ending. At 3:33 a.m., it is safe to stop moving or step outside of your circle of salt. You may also turn on the lights and the game is over. So, here's some notes on it. More than one person can play this game at a time, but they all have to do their own paper and their own blood, basically their own blood bond.
Right.
The invitation welcomes an entity known as the Midnight Man inside your home.
Nope.
Mouse sucker. I already read that one. No.
So
I'm not playing hide and go seek and running in my own house.
No.
With the Midnight Man.
Yeah.
With a candle that you have to relight.
I see you over there, bitch. At least let me get a PB&J in my belly before we start this fun.
No, you can't. You have to keep moving.
Yeah, so
you can't stop and make a sandwich.
You have
like, I'm moving.
You have to keep moving so he can't find you, is the thing.
That's when you preempt at least snacks all throughout the house for the night.
No shit. If you stop, he'll catch you.
Yeah.
If he does catch you, he can make you hallucinate your worst fears until the end of the game. Others believe that he takes your organs out one by one. If the Midnight Man is around, you'll notice a sudden drop in temperature, sound of a soft whisper that you won't be able to tell. You won't be able to tell where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
The appearance of a humanoid figure, a shadow person probably, and the candle going out means that he's close. If the candle does go out, relight it within 10 seconds or circle yourself with salt, like I said.
Right.
Do not turn on any lights during the game. Do not use a flashlight during the game. Do not go to sleep during the game. Do not use a lighter instead of a candle during the game. Do not use a person's blood.
Other than your own.
Right. During this game.
Mm-hmm.
Do not attempt to leave your home during the game. Do not attempt to provoke the Midnight Man during the game. And most importantly, do not assume that the Midnight Man has left your home for good at the conclusion of the game.
Well, shit. You know, I think I've seen a video game of this. something similar to this.
If there's any movies or games out there that people know of on these, I want send them to us because I want to know because that would be a cool movie.
There's a lot of little. Some of these I'm recognizing that there's a lot of little like fan made games, little cheap indie games that sound very similar to some of these that you're mentioning. So they're probably out there somewhere. Right. I just wouldn't know the name of them or anything.
So the last one that I have.
I'm not going to lie. I watch a couple of channels that they play these creepy little games, so I don't have to.
You like to see what the results are for other people, but not you.
Yeah, I like to watch them get jump scared because I'm too chicken shit to do it myself. So
this one's called The Gambler's Game. It's common knowledge that the devil loves to gamble. However, it hasn't been confirmed whether the gambler of this game is him. Or
why not?
Or yeah. Or whether the name of the game might refer to the player. Oh, or whether the name of the game might refer to the actual player.
Gotcha.
Whoever or whatever your opponent may be warned. He plays for keeps.
As usual. Sounds like most of them play for keeps.
Yeah. So
since you're going to be losing organs or eyes or your soul or your life.
So you need one player. You need a pack of playing cards, a quiet room, a table, and two chairs. Okay?
I think they call this solitaire, don't they?
So, you begin when you're ready.
Okay.
Take your playing cards into a quiet room and sit down at the table. The second chair should be facing you from across the table as if someone were sitting in it.
Right.
Shuffle the cards. Do not cheat. Shuffle the cards. Choose your game and deal yourself a hand. Begin the game by facing the second chair. Begin the game by facing the second chair and saying the words "Let's play." You may feel a slight chill, but the lights just
flickered. Never tells the spirit. Let's play.
Did anyone else notice that?
What,
the lights flickered?
Yeah, it's not the first time it's flickered.
And it got a little chilly in here too. Just so you know,
the air conditioner's on. We're gonna blame it on that.
Hasn't felt it all night.
So let me reread that.
She kind of creeped me out when she started laughing, too. I'm not going to lie.
As soon as she laughed, the lights flickered.
Right. That's what I thought she was laughing at. What the hell?
It's not the first one they're flickered so far.
So begin the game by facing the second chair and saying the words, "Let's play." Made sure nothing happened.
Yeah.
You may feel a slight chill, but pay no attention to it. If you don't, do not proceed. So you want the chill.
You want the chill.
As we're sitting here with an empty chair in front of us, and we're saying this.
Well, luckily the cat's not freaking out. So
we got a cat sitting in the chair, so hopefully I think
the cats are kind of like our little spirit guardians, anyway. Right. So
deal the gambler his hand, then play your first move. When it's the gambler's turn, you must help him play by laying down his cards randomly from his hand. Do not look at his hand before it is on the table. Again. Do not cheat. Play the game to its conclusion, alternating turns as required. If you win, take the top card of the deck and draw its edge across the pointer finger of your right hand. If you draw blood, the hand will henceforth have the power to win any gamble, whether it's a throw of the dice or the luck of the draw. If the gambler wins, he claims his prize, and you can't stop him. Some of the notes are, blackjack is preferred, you know, the preferred game of this.
Right. Because if you're the dealer, dealer usually wins, so.
Right. I think you'd probably make him the dealer.
Why?
I don't know.
Make him the dealer? His ass ain't gonna deal no cards.
Yeah.
You gotta do
He's sitting there all night long. I know. You're the dealer if you have to
You'd have to be the dealer.
Yeah, okay.
Dealer house usually wins. So.
When do you hit? Until he busts?
I guess.
Yeah. So, like I said, blackjack is preferred. If possible, use a new and unopened pack of cards. The gambler is mistrustful.
I see what this is. Uh-huh. Bicycle put this little game out so they can have increase on card buys.
Yep.
The gambler is mistrustful and may not like using an unopened or torn up deck. So he might not trust that you didn't rig something up.
I think she's right. I think Bicycle created this. I think this is on their main page.
Yeah.
If the gambler wins, he won't be quick about claiming his prize. He takes his time.
Of course.
It is not recommended that you play this game. There's a reason you don't come across many people with lucky hands in this world. And that's some of our slumber party games.
Mm-mm. Some of those last ones, nope.
And there's a ton more that I didn't write down because after I looked at my notes,
many.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a long episode. Right.
And some of them, not necessarily slumber party games, because a lot of them can be played solo.
Yeah,
so,
well, you know. I just, you know, spooky games in general.
If you're into summoning spirits, here's some games for you guys.
If you want to float, if you want to...
Yeah, if you want to generally let evil into your house.
If you want to... dig deep into the depths of your mind.
Right. See, that one's kind of cool, though. That one might be kind of fun to do.
Yeah, that one does seem pretty cool. I still think it's more of a meditation therapy kind of.
Right. Yeah, that one's kind of neat. I could see myself doing that one before the rest of these nonsense type games.
You know, I didn't ask earlier, but y'all said that y'all have never played any kind of spooky slumber party game.
No.
I did.
I told you. Yeah, you said that.
Hot as a feather, stiff as a board.
See, I don't have any cool experiences with any of those.
No.
You did Bloody Mary and Mm-mm. but
did
like
you
I
see
said,
Bloody Mary?
No, I told you we only got to two on these things. We're not playing around.
if we don't recommend that you try these games, but if you do,
if anyone has any stories.
Yeah, we want to hear stories.
I like stories. I like good creepy stories.
Because that would be a fun episode to do, like a ghost episode type story with just these kind of games.
Right, right.
So if we got enough of those, we could just completely do a spooky games episode.
On other people's shenanigans.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Write us.
I did like some of the people's submissions for the ghost story. Some of them were just great.
All the red eyes.
Yeah, a lot of red eyes. You know, why can't ghosts have blue eyes? Or green. Green's cute. Why do they have to be creepy red eyes?
Because red is evil.
Right. Boring. Come on. Come on, evil. Come on.
Come on, evil. Get some new colors.
Right. Get some different colors.
It's 2017. Get some new colors.
Yeah, exactly. Red's...
You've been sporting the red for way too long.
Red's so 17th century. Come on.
Well, let's wrap this spooky game up.
Okay.
Of our ritual...
that we don't recommend you try at all. what is it? Little warning. Do not attempt.
Do not attempt this at home.
We need to put that on the YouTube channel. So, warning. Do not attempt these. You will probably die.
Yeah. Or you'll lose your freaking organs one by one.
You know, I wonder, like I said earlier, I wonder if anyone has had any experiences where they've known people get really hurt or have died after doing stupid things like this. I want to know, is there any record of such a thing happening?
Yeah, I would to dig more.
People going missing and stuff.
Right.
Ooh, yeah.
Right.
Well, we were playing Bloody Mary, and I haven't seen her since then.
Yeah, I haven't seen my friend Tabitha since then. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know why I picked the name Tabitha. I just pulled it out of the air.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah, watch somebody.
Any Tabitha that's listening is like, bitch, I didn't disappear. I'm right here.
And I swear to God, if anybody calls the little hotline number is like, oh, I knew a Tabitha and she disappeared. I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to believe you. So don't even do it.
I know a Mary. She haunts me.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And it's not the Lady Gaga one.
Well, let's wrap it up. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Adios. As always, we appreciate you listening. If you wouldn't mind, if you're an iTunes user, please go give us a review and make sure you're subscribed. And if you're not an iTunes user, you can subscribe to us on Stitcher, Google Play, Satchel, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find your favorite podcasts at, we are on there. And if we're not, let us know so we can try to get on there. We also have a YouTube page that you can subscribe to. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram at Secret Transpod. You can follow us on Facebook, and you can email us at secrettransmission@hotmail.com. We still have the voicemail up, and we haven't really been advertising it much, but, you know, if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can tell us a story, you can tell us that you love us, you can tell us you hate us. It's 304-602-7444. You can order a shirt at our What a Maneuver link, and every time you order a shirt, it directly helps support the show. Or, if you want to just donate a dollar to us, we do have a Patreon, and our first goal is to raise enough money to order some stickers to send out to everyone. You can catch us on the Podcast Radio Network at 9 p.m. Eastern, and then right after us, you can listen to the Monsters Among Us podcast. Podcast Radio Network, 9 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. Monsters Among Us is also part of the Dark Myths, just like us, so you can find a bunch of great shows on darkmyths.org. There's way too many great shows to try to list them. So just go check it out. Just go to darkmyths.org. You can follow them on Twitter at darkmythspods. So go follow them, and you'll get updates for all the great shows on the Dark Myths. But that's going to do it for this week. We hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable. Okay, test, test. Oh, see, there we go. I'm off the chart. Okay.
Off the chart. Check, check, 1, 2. Check, 1, check, 2. I don't like to write checks. Check, 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 check. Hello, hello.
That's good. I can hear you still, too.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Even though I can only hear you through one. That's fine.
Testing, testing. Toby's microphone is testing right now. Kristen, give me some tests.
Test, 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 test. Am I too loud to...
Well, keep talking.
Test, 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 test.
You're fine as long as you don't yell.
I'm not yelling.
That's what he's saying. As long as you don't yell, you're fine.
And you're good over there, Rudy.
Cool.
Ready to say goodbye, Roger.
That's the